I want you to notice this construction have taken place. Thomas, I know Thomas worked up here most 2 days and got all this done for us. I told him, I said, we're moving out. If you won't come to sit on the front row, I'll come to you. And we're getting there. But I appreciate all the hard work that's going on, and it's not over. This is for tonight. You come back in the morning, as Teddy has already said, the living Christmas tree needs to be put up, men and women. So, man, it'll be a wonderful time. It always goes up great, a good fellowship. You come, if you say, I don't have any talents of hitting the right nails. I hit these a lot. But you come. There's something you can do and be a part of this time and fellowship. Okay? Turn, if you will, in your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, we'll start with verse 2. Luke chapter 3, verse 2. The Bible says, while Ananias and Caiaphas were high priest, the word of God, I want you to listen to that, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the word of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you today for the opportunity to come into your house and just worship you. Lord, I thank you for these that have come. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit just fill our hearts, our lives. Lord, I don't know what each one of us are facing this morning, but I know that you do. And Lord, there's a need to be met in every individual's life here. And we ask, Lord, that you encourage us and give us courage to face every day, knowing that that day is what you have given us. And Lord, that we will make it through because of the word of God coming to us. We give you praise, for it's in Christ's name, the precious name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. On a prison wall, I read a book one day that said on the prison wall, a prisoner wrote, there ain't no God. There ain't no God. That man had lost all hope. That man was walking in discouragement. And he had come to the point in his life of expressing what so many are expressing to me today. Preacher, there's just no hope out there. There's no hope. The world seems to be going in the wrong way. I have been drinking of life's bitter cup. I am full of sorrow, and I believe that God just doesn't care for me anymore. That's what this prisoner was saying. I've come to a place in my life where I'm surrounded by the walls, and I've realized there's no God. Well, some people say God has neither love nor wisdom nor power anymore, and there's no desire for him in my life. I don't know if you've been there or not, but I know that a lot of us today are facing some discouraging times in our life. We come to this season we call Christmas, a time when more people are discouraged, a time when more suicides are committed than any other time of the year. And it's because people have come to the end of their hope and they say, well, God doesn't care for me anymore. Where is His love? Well, let me tell you something, folks. I believe that God does care. I believe there is a God. I believe God is love. I know He's real because He lives in my life, and He is the one who sustains me. He's the one who encourages me. He's the one who gives me my strength today. And in our world of starving millions and our mass cruelty that we see in this world, in unrestrained immorality in our country today, what keeps us going on? You see, what keeps us going on? You know, we're one generation away from getting away from all Christianity. Just one generation. Well, how has the church continued to move on? How has the church continued to grow? How has the church been a loving church, feeling the power of God in the life of the people? And that's what I want us to look at today. In the Word of God, it was tough times right here. They were having some real tough times in the Bible at this point. The Roman army was powerful. The people, the Pharisees, were cruel. Things were happening. And Luke begins to describe a time kind of like ours today. It's not an easy time. But Luke said, I believe God cares. I believe God cares for me. I believe God cares for the people. And, you know, we're in some horrible times spiritually in America today. I don't have to tell you that. You just look at the television. You look at the newspaper. You read on the internet. And you will see that, man, we are in some tough times. It's been 400 years since Malachi. And the voice of God hasn't been heard. There's horrible times religiously. The Pharisees, I said, the Romans looked down on the common people. It was a horrible time nationally, kind of like it is today. We're facing some tough times. But we need to understand this. And as I read this word, I know that we're facing some horrible times. But look at what it says. While Ananias and Caiaphas were high priests, the word of God came to John. Now, folks, I want you to notice something. That is an encouraging word. The word of God came to John. You see, Zacharias was a high priest in a captive land who kept the fires of faith moving, who kept the fires of faith going forward. Folks, that's what we need in our life. We need the word of God to come to us and rekindle the fires that were there at one time. You know what? If you don't do anything to a fire, guess what happens? It goes out, doesn't it? It goes out. You've got to rekindle that fire every once in a while. I don't care how good a stove you got. When you put the wood on it, sooner or later it burns up and you need to put some fresh wood on the fire. Well, we need to rekindle the fires of revival in our life. Now, someone said the other day, well, we can expect at any time an invasion of China. We can expect any time an invasion of the Middle East, Syria or Iran or something like that. We can expect an invasion from Russia. America's going to fall. Well, what we need is not an invasion of those countries, but an invasion of the Holy Spirit in our life. Man, that's what will get us excited when the Word of God came to John. Now, let me tell you something. John didn't go out and search for the Word of God. The Word of God came to John, it says. John wasn't looking for it. The Lord was looking for John. And I believe today God is still looking. Over in the Old Testament, it says, and the Spirit of God moved, and He was looking for a man. He was searching for a man or a woman or someone to stand in the gap. He found none. But I believe that God doesn't give up. I believe God is searching for a man or a woman, a young man or a young woman, or a boy, a child, somebody to stand up and say, I'll be the one. You see? I'll be counted for Jesus in my life. The Lord came to John. Now let me tell you what. That was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the pre-incarnate Christ, the Holy Spirit, came and lit a fire under the soul of John, and John began to preach the word of God. He began to pronounce the word of God that Jesus Christ is coming. And folks, we need that in our life. Over in the Old Testament, there's a man named Eli. You know, Eli had two wicked sons, Hophni and Phinehas, I believe. They were two scoundrels. They were bad. They did things that broke the heart of God. They did things that were wrong in the temple. Eli didn't do anything about it. Couldn't control his own sons. It was bad time religiously. But God came to Eli. God came to Eli and a young man named Samuel, you see. And Samuel was God's man who said, Lord, I want to hear from you. Folks, that's all it takes. That's all it's going to take to change our lives around, is let God come in our life. You see, we've crowded God out, hadn't we? With all the things of the world, we've been pushing God out. We've been saying, God, we're going to live our way. Let us do our thing. We want it our way. And God says, I can't do it that way. It's either my way or I can't walk hand in hand with you. You see, you're separating yourself from God. And, you know, that's what happened in Eli's day. But God came to Samuel. No matter how dark the times, no matter how sorrowful the times, God, I believe, has a young man. God has a young woman. God has someone willing to keep the fires going. I can remember Daddy said, boys, put some more wood on the fire. Stoke it up a little bit. Stir up those flames. Why? Because the fire was going out. And folks, we need that in our life. And I believe in our churches, folks, let me tell you something. I don't want to put gloom and doom out here, but in our churches, we need people to stir up the fire a little bit. We need people to rekindle the flames a little bit. We need the invasion of the Holy Spirit to get a hold of our life. We're so afraid that Holy Spirit's going to get loose and we won't know how to control it. In Baptist churches, we just don't like to hear about the Holy Spirit. But that's what it's going to take. You know, it won't hurt us to get a little excited every once in a while. Man, when I get excited, somebody says, well, you're going to start speaking in tongues? Man, I already speak in a tongue. My wife says sometimes it's an unknown tongue. You know, I call it East Texas Piney Woods backcountry tongue. But it's there. Do you mind me raising my hand? I don't mind raising your hand. If that's what the Lord says you to do, amen, every once in a while, ain't going to hurt. Might set somebody on fire this morning. You see, the good church is not man-made. The church is God-made. It's a living organism of God, and it is indestructible. What can stop it? Nothing going to stop the church. If the church will just get on fire for God, God will move in a mighty way. He will sustain it. Every need we have, God has already supplied in our churches today. All he needs to do for the people to wake up, get excited about it, and start living for him, instead of just coming and saying, oh, I'm going to sit through another boring sermon or another music program or something. Man, I don't know about you, but I look forward to coming to church. I get excited about Sunday morning because it's the time when my family gets together. Yeah, you're my family and I love you. Sometimes I don't tell you enough, but you know, I do love you. And I'm excited. You thrill my heart. And it really thrills my heart when I see the Holy Spirit moving in the lives of our people and doing things in our lives of our people. And the church today will continue on because of the invasion of the Holy Spirit. He comes into our lives the moment we ask Him. Would you stand in the gap for our church? Would you be the one that stands in the gap for our country today? Would you be the one that stands in the gap for lost boys and girls today that we see on every street corner? Would you tell somebody about Jesus Christ? The Word of God came to John, the Bible says. Not only that, I believe the church will continue on. Not only because of the invasion of the Holy Spirit, but I believe the church will continue on because the influence of some godly people. You see, I do believe that God has His people. How does God get us to influence other people? Well, there's many ways that God gets us to influence other people. Everywhere you go, you should be living for Jesus Christ. You influence someone, you'll either influence them the wrong way or you'll influence them the right way. Listen, one day I'm going to meet God face to face. I talked about this in one of our Bible studies on Wednesday night. We will stand face to face one day at the judgment seat of God, and we will be judged. The Bible says gold, silver, and precious stones are wood, hay, and stubble. And folks, I don't want the wood, hay, and stubble in my life, for the Bible says it'll be burned up. But the gold and the silver and the precious stones, those are the works that we do for Jesus Christ. Those are the things that we do to win people to Christ. Those precious things, those valuable things we do in our life, we will stand before God one day, and I praise God. I want to hear Him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Folks, that's what I want to hear, and I know that's what you want to hear in your life, don't you? You don't want to be one of those that, "Oh, I made it in by the skin of my teeth." No, you want to come to God with the crown, and you want to lay it at His feet and hear Him say, "You've been faithful over little things. I'm going to make you ruler over many." You see? Don't just go be an influence for someone. Ordinary people. Telling people about Jesus Christ. Oh, I thank God for the love of God. No matter what's happening in the world around people, I know people that are always calm. They're always in the Word of God. They're always encouraging with the Word of God. What an example that we find in the Bible of Elizabeth and Zacharias. They were there to help a young man named John. Godly parents who set an example for their children. And let me tell you, young people, I pray that you'll be a godly parent that will set an example for that little boy or little girl that you have, that you might raise them up in church according to the Word of God, that you might bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. The way he should go. That's in the admonition and love of the Lord, not in the worldly things. You set an example by your life. You set an example by your influence. Lead them to the right direction. Tell them about Jesus Christ. Let them know that He is the answer for their life. All their problems. You know, ever how small our problems might seem, or ever how large they might seem sometimes, God is always there working. I look over in the Old Testament and I see that in the beginning it says God. And He was there with Adam, and He was there with Eve, and He paved the road of salvation all the way to the cross of Calvary through Jesus Christ, His precious Son. And the Bible says, at the very end, He's coming back. And He's going to be King of kings and Lord of lords. And every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord in heaven and on earth. Folks, you may be beaten down, you may be trodden under, but there's always some godly people around your life that will encourage you and influence you if you will look for them. And I hope and pray that if you're a parent, you're that kind of person. Those who serve God, man, let me tell you, in spite of the tragedies in life, let me tell you, you don't have to look to the Spurgeons, you don't have to look to the Wesleys, you don't have to look to the McLarens, you don't have to look to the Criswells to find holy people, to find godly people. All you have to do is look in your church and look at the lives there of the people that are influenced by God. All you have to do is look at those people that are filled with the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit has invaded their life and they're stirring the flames of the fire for God. Look to them. I'm talking about dedicated people. I'll tell you what, I can already tell you right now who will be here in the morning to help put this tree up. I've been here for 27 years. I know those that are dedicated. How do I know that? I've watched them over the years. Their life has set an example. Things just don't happen by chance. God is there, folks. God is there moving. You know, I'm talking about dedicated people in the church that keep the flames and the candles burning in that church, even when everybody else says, well, I think we'll go on somewhere else. The fire's going out. Instead of being a part of the solution, they want to run off. You see? They don't want to work. They don't want to stand in the gap for God's church and say, hey, I'm going to do something here. I'm going to make a way. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit work in my life. You see? They just say, well, you know, I'll just move on somewhere else. Maybe it's no better anywhere else. I've been talking to some preachers, and they said, you know what? We're living in a generation. The church is just going kind of down, down, down. Folks, we need people to stand up for God right now and say, listen, I will do what God wants me to do in the church. And in spite of all the tragedies, in spite of the sorrows, we need people that are invaded by the Holy Spirit in their life. We need people that let the influence of God in their life. I told a story a long time ago about a young man, a young preacher boy. He was preaching. And his church, you know how it is when you start out preaching. You might get a church of 8 people or 9 people, maybe 10, 15 people, I don't know. But it was a small country church. And he would go in, you know, back those days when I grew up, we had to go in on Sunday morning. There was a man there that got there early to light the heaters in the back, you know, get them going, if you had a heater. Kind of warm up the church and get everything going. The young preacher got up there, he'd lit the heaters, he'd got everything going, he'd got ready to preach his sermon, and at the time of service, no one was there. Boy, you're talking about discouraging. Small church. He was questioning, he said, Lord, what's the use? Why am I preaching? No one even cares to come. It was cold outside. But in that church, there was a crippled man who lived in a wheelchair. He went everywhere he went, he had to go in that wheelchair. And he had a bell on that wheelchair. And he had a little light on that wheelchair. And it was snowing outside. And the young man was almost discouraged, just sitting there soaking, having a pity party of himself. Why me, Lord? Why can't I have a church where people are actually alive and dedicated and come? Don't you care? And through all the snow, he heard that little bell. Then he went to the back window and looked out, and it was the man in the wheelchair with his light on coming. God always has somebody to encourage. Folks, would you be that one? Would you be that one that says, listen, I am going to go to our Bible study class. I'm going to get my Bible out and I'm going to read the pages of it and study the Word of God. I want to be an influence. Oh, I want to be like that crippled man. I want to light the way. Ring the bell for God. I want to encourage our staff. I want to encourage our teachers. I want to encourage our church that we might move forward, that we might grow, that we might see the glory of God, that we might have an invasion of the Holy Spirit in our life. Thank God, no matter how dark the nights or how dreary or everything else may come, you'll always have an influence of a holy person. People who will inspire us. You know? Let me tell you something. There's people in this church that have every reason, physical reason, good reasons to say, I can't come on Sunday morning because of my health. And you know what? They're the most faithful ones here. And when I see them come up in their car 30 minutes before church and get out in a wheelchair and a walker, when I see them coming to the building early so they can be here, that encourages me. And it ought to encourage every one of you that have two good legs, two good arms, lungs to breathe. It ought to encourage you to say, Lord, let me help. Let me do something for the glory of God. Folks, that ought to inspire you. We need an invasion of the Holy Spirit in our churches. We need an invasion of the influence of godly people in our church. And then lastly, we need to keep going because of the inspiration of heaven itself. Inspiration of heaven itself. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. And the last verse, it says, in all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Looking at all these names, two names stand out. Herod and John. You know the story. Herod was living in sin, had everything he wanted in this life. John was preaching the word of God, no compromise. He said, you're living in adultery. Made everybody mad. They asked for John's head on a platter. Herod said, I got a chance to get rid of this guy. Well, you know the story. He had John's head cut off. Well, let me tell you something. Is there a God? You ask John, and he would say, oh, yeah. Yes, there is a God. You see? But John, you're dead for preaching God's word. They killed you. He let them kill you. What kind of God would do that? And John says, but the story's not finished yet. And if you look at the rest of the story, like Paul Harvey says, one day Herod, he also dies. And he will spend an eternity in a place called hell. But old John, he didn't kill him. He just put him in another place. He went, the Bible says, to be with Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior. Oh, he got a new body, you see. Because we have the hope of heaven. And I'm telling you one thing, that is a mighty incentive for me to preach the word. It's a mighty incentive for me to live for Jesus. It's a mighty incentive for me to tell people about Jesus. I want them to go to be with Jesus. Listen to this. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. He says this, for our momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory. Did you hear that? Our momentary troubles. Folks, God didn't say you're going to live in a rose garden all your life down here. He says man's days are full of troubles. If you live for Jesus, let me tell you something. The old devil don't like you. The world doesn't like you. You're an enemy of the world. Because the world is controlled right now by old Satan. And he's really making it hard. But let me tell you, Paul says it's just momentary, guys. For we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. Everything you see here today, it's going to be gone. It'll rust away, it'll rot away, it'll be burned away one day. It is gone, it's temporary. But what is unseen, we have to see by the eye of faith. And that is for eternity. It's eternal, he says. I'm not looking at what's seen. My hope is in heaven. The Bible says we ought to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's going to appear one day. The Bible says, in my Father's house are many mansions. I believe somebody asked me the other night, Booney, do you want a room? And I said, I got one. Already. It's in heaven. Folks, we've got a room. This is not the end. It's just the beginning. And in 1812, Adam Myers and Ann Judson, they sailed for India as missionaries. They were forced to go to Burma. And the Judsons worked there for 8 years. 8 years in a foreign country that is a lot worse back then than it is now. And they sweated and toiled there. And you know what the story is? They did not have one single conversion in 8 years. The world would look at him and say, hey, you are a failure. You know what he said as he sailed away? He wrote these lines. In spite of sorrow, loss, and pain, our course be onward still. We sow on Burma's barren plain, but we'll reap on Zion's hill. The story's not over, folks. Will you reap on Zion's hill? What keeps you going? We need an invasion of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need the influence of godly people. And we need the glimpse of glory bright of heaven. Folks, that keeps me going. That keeps me going when the days are rainy. That keeps me going when no one comes. That keeps me going because that's what God has said. Keep on going. Don't quit. Don't back up. The Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against God's church. It's a scene where literally the church ought to be pushing back the gates of hell. And folks, I think we're kind of at a standstill. But God says we're going to push them back. So this morning, if you're here and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ died for you on Calvary that you might have eternal life. Would you let the Holy Spirit come into your life this morning? Invade your life? Would you just let Him come into your life simply by faith? You have to trust Him by faith. Not some kind of feeling, but by faith. Would you trust Him for what He's done on Calvary? He died for you that you might have eternal life. But you have to choose Him. He's not going to force you. He came to us, Emmanuel, God with us. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your life, to cover for your sins. And there's nothing that you have done in life that's going to shock God, because he knows your life from beginning to end. And he only has the best for you. He wants the best for you. But it starts with his son, Jesus Christ. Life does not begin until you really accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then you have eternal life. Would you come this morning simply by faith? You're here and you've never trusted Christ. And you know if you died right now, you would spend an eternity lost. There's no second chances. I don't care what some of these people tell you. If you die without Christ, it's all over for you. An eternity in hell. Don't think it's just momentary there. It's for all eternity. While we're in heaven, you'll be crying out in hell. Maybe you're here this morning. And listen, you've been saved. You know that you're saved. But your life hasn't been lived for God. Man, that's all of us, isn't it? I can't say mine's been perfect either. And I'll be the first one on my knees up here this morning, because I love God. I'm not ashamed of my Lord and Savior. I'm ashamed of the way I live for him. But I want the invasion of the Holy Spirit in my life so that I can be a godly influence on people. If you're here this morning and you've trusted Christ and you would like to do that, would you come? Maybe you're here looking for a church home, and this is the place that God has led you. Man, would you come? Join in with this fellowship that we might literally push back the gates of hell that are crowding in on our city, that are crowding in on our state, that are crowding in on our county. It all starts with you as the people of God saying, yes, Lord, I will stand in the gap. I will be an influence. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for this time that we can make a decision one way or the other. We'll either choose to accept you and the love you have for us, or we'll choose to reject you. But God, I pray that we'll be an influence for you, that we'll accept you as our Lord and Savior. Lord, that we'll come to eternal life. And Lord, one day when we stand before you, we'll hear you say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. For it's in your precious name, the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen.